I want to share something that the Lord's been dealing with me about.
Right.
I come around in cycles to this. And every time the Lord brings me around to a cycle, and getting back on this, it challenges me even deeper down to the core of my being. And I love to be challenged. Amen. Without being challenged, I tend to stay at the same place.
Yeah.
Anybody else, you know what I'm talking about? The nature of the flesh is just sort of to stay, you know, whatever's comfortable and just rock along and, you know, just kind of, you know, hi-ho, it's off to work I go kind of thing. But no, I like to be challenged. I like people that kind of look at me like, what are you thinking? You know, I like that. I do.
Amen.
Some people don't like that, but I do.
Amen.
I don't want to, I'd hate to think I'm going to stay the same place I am right now. Dear God, my goodness, and anyway, I'll be nice, but it's important that we do let God challenge us, and I'm just going to talk to you about reaching for God's best tonight, reaching for God's best. Now, if you want to go to a scripture, we'll look at a lot of scriptures, I guess, we'll see here, but let's just take, for example, this is not just going to be for about finances. In fact, I don't think it's going to be about finances much at all, unless the Lord gets us on that. But just a scripture that you can look at if you want to. And this is in a different translation than maybe most of you are open to tonight. But Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19 in King James, we know it. If you be willing and obedient, King James says you'll eat the good of the land, the good of the land. Well, I looked at least three, and I was just looking real quickly. I wasn't taking much time with it today, that said something like this. This is the New American Standard Bible. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. The best of the land.
Hallelujah.
God's got something for you called the best. He has a, you know, the scripture, like, for example, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, notice, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, right? And so we see scriptures like that. We see Psalm 81:13 and 16. If you want to write these down, I'm just going to go over a couple. Psalm 81:13-16, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, he should soon, or God should soon have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Honey is not a staple. Honey is something you could live without. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And the finest is mentioned here. He wants you and I to have the finest, to have the best. Now, I'm not just talking about finances.
Right.
Although that's true about finances. In fact, both of these verses are referring to finances. But you can see that in verses like that. Think about some other verses. Let's just refer to a couple of them here. Notice he said, let me just give you some phrases, for example. Some phrases that I'm sure you're familiar with. Have you ever read in the Bible, this is over in Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter number 11, that if you serve God, then you'll have days of heaven on earth. Say that out loud, days of heaven on earth. I said, say it again. Say days of heaven on earth. You ought to stop and think about that. Bible says Selah every now and then. Selah. Stop and think about that. In other words, don't just let that get by you. Meditate on that. Days of heaven on earth. Is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
Huh?
No, sir.
Is there anybody about half tormented in their mind in heaven?
No.
Huh? Is there any strife in heaven?
No.
So how about days of heaven in your home where there's no strife? Amen. There's no poverty in heaven, that's for sure. In fact, if prosperity makes you nervous, please don't go to heaven. You're going to go start crazy. But because they make streets out of gold up there. Amen. Praise God. So, but anyway, days of heaven on earth. Days of heaven on earth. How many of you know there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? Heaven's full of joy. Days of heaven on earth are days full of joy. Amen. And the peace is a peace of God is the presence in that atmosphere of heaven, so forth and so on. So that's a statement that kind of gives you an idea of kind of the theme we're looking at here tonight. How many of you have ever read in the Bible that Jesus came, you might have life and have it more abundantly? Have it more abundantly. Then we were already referred to Romans 12, 1 and 2, of course, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed, that you may prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That's something that's beyond just the good and the acceptable. That's the very best God has for you. Amen. The very best God has for you. And then we read verses like eating, like we already read, eating the good of the land or the best of the land. Then we have verses like the parable of the sower, where there's different kinds of ground, and some didn't bring forth any, some brought forth some more, and then it withered and didn't really produce much. And then there was good ground that brought forth, but still in the good ground there was different degrees of bringing forth, and then the seed is the word. And the word will bring forth after its kind. Yes. You plant healing seed, you'll get healing in your life. Yeah. You get other kind of seed, you know, walking in love seed, it'll bring peace into your home, you know.
Amen.
Everything will produce after its own kind. So, but still, even good ground, some people don't get everything out of what is available to them in different areas of the word. I guess you could say in one sense of the word, all of us have been there. I have not walked in the best of God's will in every area of my life, all my life. There's been areas I've come short in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's nobody perfect here. I don't know that anybody's perfect here. Ann's kind of close, but it's just kind of, she sort of outshines us sometimes, you know. But anyway, Carlos helps her. That's why she's so perfect. But no, there's things that, I've come short of at times. I've been to the doctor and had operations. Amen. I think maybe only once. Anyway, no, twice. I had ingrown toenail cut out. But see, I came short of God's best there because I criticized her. Don't look at me with that righteous tone of voice. I learned something out of that one. Ooh, did I learn something out of that one? I learned just walk in love because she had an ingrown toenail and I was telling her, well, she had it in her heart to go to the doctor and I criticized her for it. And then she went and said, well, it's my body. I'm going to do whatever I'm led to do. And I said, well, okay. So she went and got it cut out. How many months was it? I had to have ingrown toenail. And I said, I'm just going to believe God. And God said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You criticized her. Now you're going to get yours cut out. Yeah, that wasn't God's best. And I was out on the Indian reservation preaching whenever I had to get it cut out, and the Indian doctor didn't do that good a job. I think from now on I'm going to walk in love.
I think that's a good idea.
Amen. Amen. Well, anywho, but see, I've come short of God's best at times. Praise the Lord. I mean, not praise the Lord that I came short, but praise the Lord, there's no condemnation. None of this that we're going to preach tonight is because we can condemn one another. Right? So, but anyway, how about, the hundredfold there? He talks about it in the parable of the sower. There's the four kinds of dirt, and then in the good ground, there's three different levels of producing. You analyze that, only 8%. See, a third of a fourth. 8%, roughly. 8%. Got the best.
Wow.
That's not very good statistics.
No.
So there's a chance that most of us still haven't got all God's best.
So true. Come on, sir.
I don't know, maybe all of us, maybe not one of us. No, all of us.
Yeah. Come on.
Right? Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But because it's, if we haven't got it, does that mean it's not available?
No,
not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Praise the Lord. So what are we going to do about it if we don't get God's best? Sit down and cry and get out our hanky? Hear services like this and say, well, Pastor, you set the bar too high. I've never attained to that. Well, I haven't either. But I'm going to preach the word. I'm not going to preach my experience. Praise the Lord. You know, there's preachers was it Elijah or Elisha? I think it was Elisha. It was because Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. But Elisha died. He had a healing ministry. But he died young of sickness. Well, that just proves it's not the will of God. No, it doesn't. It proves that he's human. That's all that proves.
Right. Yeah.
No healing minister who came short of God's best has his experience is not a higher authority than the Word of God. I'm going to go over here and preach that. We don't change our doctrine because of anybody's experience. We hold to the Word. What does the Word say? And we all shoot for that. And I'd rather shoot for the highest God has for me. And even if I get half of it, that's a whole lot better than if I shoot real low and get all of it. Amen. So you might be tempted to think, Pastor Jay, setting the bar too high. Well, number one, I didn't set it. I'm just going to preach the Word of God to you. Isn't that right? Just for the record, I didn't set it. Amen. And God said it in His Word, and He showed us what's available for us. And I think I'm looking at the kind of people, I believe you are, the kind of people that's reaching for God's best. Praise God. Amen. And while we're all reaching for God's best, if we don't get it, then fine. We meet each other at our point of faith, right? But none of us change our doctrine and say, well, see, now I had great confidence in them, but they didn't get God's best. That don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't change the Word at all. Praise God. But see, if we don't preach God's best, people will forget about it. Because we're used to our experience. And sometimes our experience is not up to God's best. It's down here somewhere. And so we're sort of looking down here, and our whole perspective is down here. Whenever we ought to raise up our eyes from time to time and just look at what is available to us. I think some of this is going to be applying to healing tonight, so we'll see how this goes. But the good ground, only 8% of the ground, all the ground brought forth God's best. Amen. 100-fold stands for God's best. Amen. Now, God's best manifests in things like divine health rather than divine healing. Look at Exodus. I had a scripture. I didn't know where we were going to start. Here's a scripture to start with. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Amen. Amen. I sometimes don't know why people don't preach this. And if you don't preach it, people won't know about it. And if people don't know about it, they certainly aren't going to reach for it. Exodus 23, verse 25 through 26. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. He'll bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Praise God. That's talking about living out your full length of days. In other words, you won't die young of sickness or disease. You'll live out your days. And to be honest, you won't even die with sickness and disease. We'll look at that maybe in a minute. But notice there, that's that 25th verse, that last statement. He said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's God's best. That's God's best. That is not divine healing. Divine healing is some of us sick and getting healed and get back on the road of life, you know. But God's best is, this is not divine healing. This is, there's no sickness among us. He said, notice that. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Well, if sickness is taken away from the midst of us, there wouldn't be any of us sick. Wouldn't be any of us on medication. Amen. Amen. Well, how would you die then? I mean, if nobody's going to get sick, how would you die? Well, I'm glad you asked. You'd die like the Bible says to die. The Bible mentions the death of the righteous. And maybe you won't catch these as I read them, because I'm going to read them real quick. But you can just read, a couple of verses here where I wrote it down again, looking at it, probably looking straight at it, and don't know where exactly the scriptures are. I wrote them down. But there's scriptures that talk about the death of the righteous. Yeah. Amen. And the death of the righteous is referred to as Jacob's death. Yes. Amen. Here it is. Genesis 49:33 with Genesis 47:9-28. Genesis 47:9-28. And then Numbers 23, verse 10. You read all those scriptures put together, you'll find that the Bible calls the way Jacob died the death of the righteous. Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's called the blessing of the righteous. Amen.
Amen.
Well, look at how those verses tell you how Jacob died.
Yes.
He knew he was done, called all his family in, prophesied to all of them, told them there's what you're gonna, here's what's coming for you each in the future. And then he just, Bible said he pulled up his feet into the bed and gave up the ghost.
The ghost is his spirit.
Yeah. See, you are a spirit living in that body.
Yeah.
And that's how Jacob died. And that's called the death of the righteous.
So
somebody said, well, I've never seen that. Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of us ought to be shooting for that.
Yes, amen.
I'm shooting for it.
Yes,
I remember the Lord said to me, he said years ago, he said, now the word's gotten in you. The end of your life's going to be different than it would have been.
Yes.
That's the only way you can do this is through the word.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've never heard of that. Well, you ought to prick up your ears a little more.
Yes,
Brother Hagin died that way.
Yes,
Charles Capps died that way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Others died that way. Well, that's just too high. I mean, I don't know. Well, that's the reason you don't know.
Right.
But the death of the righteous is, somebody say, well, that's the thing. We don't know what death is. How would you die if you weren't sick? Well, that's very easy. James says, in James chapter number 2, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. Death is just the spirit man leaving the body.
Right.
And the soul, but leaving the body. And you don't need sickness to do that.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Hagin had a lady in his church. He was pastoring years ago. Pastored for 12 years. He had a lady, I think she was 93 years old. She lived to be 93. I think she was in her mid-80s. I could be wrong about the day, how old she was. But anyway, she was up in age. And she got diagnosed with cancer. And she decided she wanted to go on home.
Yeah.
And Brother Hagin said, well, he said, why don't you let the Lord heal you and then go on to heaven if you want to?
Yeah.
She said, no, Brother Hagin, just let me alone. Just let me alone. He said, no, he said, well, you got a covenant. You got a right. She said, no, I just want to die. And Brother Hagin just kept with her. Finally, he got the word of God into her enough that she actually received her healing and was totally. And here's what happened. See, you got to pay attention to this. Here's what happened. Whenever she was healed, she decided she didn't want to die anymore.
Yeah.
See, sometimes we're just giving in.
Yes. That's so good.
Ouch. We're just giving in because it'd be easier to give in. I know what it's like. I worked with the sick and healing school for however many years.
Yes, sir.
And I know it's sometimes easier to die than it is to live.
Right.
It's easier to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that lady, she lived, and I think she lived up to 93 years old. And the doctor said to her, before she was going to go on a trip, travel halfway across the country to see her daughter, at 93 years old, she went to visit the doctor to see how, she's doing before she got a checkup before she left. And the doctor said, Brother Hagin afterwards, he said, now she's got the body of a 55 year old.
Wow.
He said, I wish I was that healthy.
Praise
God. Come on now. At 55 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's a good testimony.
Yes.
That's a good testimony. Rather than dying with tubes in your nose. And now, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, there's something better. How many of you want to bring a good testimony to the Word of God?
Yes.
Well, Pastor, you set the bar too high. Well, I didn't set it. Anywho, so that's a manifestation of divine health and living out your day. Notice he said there, King James, he says there that you'll live out the length of your days. Hallelujah. Well, how long should I live? Well, like just take it for example. My mother, she's 84. And, I was looking for a place to hook on because she had some physical things come up. I was looking for a place to hook on with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to get her to where I am in faith. I'm trying to find where she is in faith. And I was, I was trying to find a handle. You got to have a handle to get a hold of something.
Yes, sir.
And I said, it came up in my spirit. I said, Mama, how long do you want to live? How long do you want to live? She said, I'd like to live to 90. I said, oh, there's my handle. I said, well, and I took her over to Psalm 91, blesses a man, that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then he comes down through there with long life. I'll satisfy him, show him my salvation. I said, Mama, you know how long life is? She said, no. I said, it told you in that verse, until you're satisfied.
Yes.
Until you're satisfied.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I've met people who had a bad marriage and didn't want to live any longer because they didn't want to live with that battle axe wife they were living with. See, they were satisfied. They want out. I've met people that died because of that. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in rare form tonight, but see, I'm getting on.
Getting it done tonight.
So anyway, so this mama said, 90 years old. I said, Mama, let's agree, because that verse is for you then. When you're satisfied, you can go on. Amen. She got this attack. I was home with her back, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And my sister-in-law, I think, maybe said something to you. Let's pray for Mama. My sister-in-law has got some renewed mind. I said, I told her, and she came to me. I said, sure, let's do that. Mama will be open to that. And so the whole family got around her, laid hands on her. She had been very dizzy, you know, couldn't keep her balance. She had been in the hospital, and then halfway between the hospital and the... Anyway, so they were taken care of. She's getting a little bit better, but she's still having problems. We laid hands on her. She woke up the next morning, boom, just totally fine. Yeah. Praise God. She laid hold of it. She receives it.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, see, Mama's going to go for 90.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, it's not according to my faith, but, you know, sometimes, you know, people, they'll lay hold of something and let go of it. We'll just keep encouraging her. Hopefully, she'll just keep laying hold of it. She said, well, I don't want to spend all this money. It's you kids' money. I said, not our money, Mama. It's your mom, your money. You spend all of it if you want to. Hallelujah. You and Daddy worked hard for that. Just keep it. Spend it all. Go to Florida if you want to. Rent a yacht. Do something. Have fun. Hallelujah. We're not blessed because of you giving us money. We're blessed because of the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'll receive it if she's done, but she's not done. Amen. So, it's God's best. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm going to go for God's best. Glory be to God. These things aren't just all up to God. People say, well, you know, when you're, they don't say it like this, but I'll paraphrase the way they say it. They say things like, you know, well, when your time comes, that's just like saying that basically what they're saying is when your time's up, God just pulls the cord and you say, I'm done. You know, just No, not at all. The Bible doesn't say that. With long life, I'll satisfy you. What if you're done your course and you're still not satisfied? He'll satisfy you. And the Bible says wicked and, you know, unrighteous people will not live out half their days. There's people that didn't get everything God had for them. And you could read, you know, New Testament talks about, I don't know why I'm on this tonight. Somebody needs to decide to live, I guess. Amen. We got some senior citizens need to decide to live. Amen. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just on it, so I'm going to stay on it. But Ephesians says, you know, honor your mother and your father. It'll go well with you. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? And then what's it say? Yeah, he talks about long life. Amen. Something about long life there. Praise the Lord. All you parents ought to know that one. Praise the Lord. Anyway, God's best is things like divine health rather than divine healing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I didn't know that was available. Well, it's good you came to church tonight.
Amen.
It's dying of a good old age without sickness and disease, like those verses I just gave you. But it's just not all up to God. There's a Godward side to everything. There's a manward side to everything. Amen. Shoot for it.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, you know, like I said, this isn't intended to bring condemnation on any of us. None of us can throw stones at the other one. But right on the other hand, if we don't shoot for it, if we don't know about it, number one, we won't shoot for it. If we don't shoot for it, we won't get it. Now, if somebody is not on the level maybe that you're on, let's just take, for example, going to a doctor. If somebody's not on the level of receiving their healing, excuse me, apart from going to the doctor, well, don't try to bring them up to where you are, because it's not according to your faith, it's according to their faith. You realize that that's not walking in love towards them. So meet them on the level they're at. This is just good pastoral help. Meet them on the level they're at. Don't try to, always bring them up to your level. Now, you want to keep feeding them the word to help them come up. Amen. But you're not just demanding no, you know, like I tried to do with her.
Yeah.
Now, that was quite a few years ago, decades ago.
Yeah.
You know, I've grown since that time.
Amen.
Amen. And you can learn from my story and not have to learn that way. You can learn from me.
Yeah.
But don't try to bring people up to where you are. Come to find out, I wasn't there either. You know, sometimes we think we're all that in a bag of chips. You know, it's easy to look down our nose whenever we're not going through the pain ourselves.
Yes.
Well, you ought to believe God. Well, if you felt like you'd have to die to get better. If you felt like they felt, you might not necessarily be of the same opinion. You might be saying the same thing. Take me to the doctor. Give me a shot. Knock me out. Load me up. Bam. Knock me out. That's something. Amen. I've worked with the sick in healing school. I know by working with them how it can be easier just to not believe God. Anyway. Now, let's take an example of meeting people on their level. Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. He didn't say, well, what's wrong with you, Timothy? You should believe God. Don't you know healing's for you? Timothy was at the place where, you know, because back, you know, alcohol has a little bit of a buzz to it and kill the bugs. You know what I'm talking about. And back then, you took a lot more of that wine to get drunk. Historically documented. That it took a lot more than the wine today. But he didn't say a lot. He said a little. I've met people. I've shared Jesus on the streets before and met people where there were winos out on the streets. That's the only verse they knew was in the Bible. But the Bible says, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Well, there's a whole lot more in there that you don't know about. Amen. So, but anyway, he met him where he was, didn't he?
Yes.
I said, didn't he?
Yes.
So meet people where they are. All right. Now, so, all right. So these things aren't just up to God. They're up to us. Now, this is Old Covenant. We're reading in, remember, Exodus 23 here. We're reading Old Covenant. But how many of you know it can't be? In fact, you run it through the New Covenant. We find that we have blessed Abraham's blessing in the New Covenant. Yes. And this is part of that blessing.
Yes.
It can't be, though, that we have a New Covenant, a better covenant, established upon better promises. Yes. And yet the blessings are less than.
Right.
No, this is a better covenant. I said, this is a better covenant. Hallelujah. And so blessings of Abraham are ours. And so, you know, we need to lay hold of this. This is really belong to us. Now, why don't people attain this? I'm a people. I'm one people. Why don't people attain this? You ever asked yourself that question? According to the word, why don't people attain this? Well, it's awfully quiet in here. It could be for one of three reasons. Number one, they don't know it's available to them. They just don't know the Word of God along this line. They don't know what the covenant says. You understand? So that's one reason people don't attain to this. Number two, they don't know how to take advantage of it. We're talking there about faith. People need to learn, they need to be taught to walk by faith, right?
Yeah.
Number three, that could be because people don't attain to God's best. It could be because of living in disobedience. Now, I'm talking about Christians now.
Mm-hmm.
You realize the world's a whole different thing.
Yes.
But Christians, why do Christians not attain to God's best? Well, if you did a cross-section, I don't know the percentage, but I was thinking about it today, it could be maybe 80% or more, probably more, but I'm just kind of trying to be low, estimate low, don't know that healing belongs to them in the covenant.
Yeah.
As much as it's been preached.
Yes.
I mean, you think surely everybody's heard this, but you just get out beyond these walls and you're going to run into person after person after person after person after person after person after person, and you're going to be counting all next week and all next month. Who just doesn't know this? Why? They haven't been taught. Or they've not sat under the teaching. They've been taught religiously rather than what the Word of God actually says. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, but then, and then some who are maybe get a little revelation of that, they don't know how to appropriate it. And there's more to appropriating it. Faith is the main thing, but there's more to it than faith. And then sometimes people are living in disobedience. Amen. I was living in disobedience to the love walk when I was criticizing her for not getting her, you know, getting healed of her ingrown toenail. That's not walking in love. Amen. We actually had some talks about it. That's a nice way of saying it. Yeah, after she got it, you know, doctor fixed, worked on it. Hers looks better than mine today. Amen. It's awfully quiet in here. Now, maybe it's too much information for you, but I'm just. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't throw those rotten tomatoes at me. You fail to get God's best too sometimes. But so we'll just keep on loving one another and keep on encouraging one another, right? However, we need to realize, whether it's you, me, whoever, doctors are not God's best. Now, that's a bold statement, but that is just the fact. God has something better than doctors. It's certainly cheaper. But he does. He has something better than doctors. We thank God for doctors. We're not preaching against doctors. Been to a doctor. I'll go back if I need to. Don't plan to need to. But we thank God for them. Really, God's provided doctors as a safety net under all the different ways he's provided for people to receive divine healing. And there's many ways. There's the laying on of hands, prayer of agreement, the healing, anointing with oil, many different places, prayer of faith. You go on and on. I think there's 9 different ways we have record of in the Bible. You know, just Proverbs chapter number 4, my son, attend to my words. And we could go on and on. Gifts of the Spirit. You know, different ways. But under all, that's a safety net. Right. I just think it got out of God's mercy and love for his people. Because he wants people well. Yes. I know Richard Roberts said something to us one time. I don't know if he said it publicly, said it to us. He said, I don't care how you get it. Just get it and keep on serving God. Just get it and keep on serving God. Yeah. Amen. But yeah, it's all from God anyway. God's the one who gave them that wisdom. So there's no criticism. But I mean, I just want to have something better than that. Amen. And I'm not here to criticize you or you criticize me. But if there's something better, why not reach for it? And if I reach for it and get half of it, whoo, that sure beats what I used to have. Sure beats what I used to have. Praise God. So you understand this isn't condemnation. It's just that we have to preach this so people understand this. Well, if I'm not reaching God's best, I want to know why. Right. Now, the why for me might be different than the why for you. You understand? I can't say, well, God said this to me, so it's got to be true. No, it might not be something. It might be something totally different for you. And to be honest, every case in my life, at one time it might be one thing, another time might be another thing. I remember, well, anyway, I don't want to take more time on that. But anyway, so there's something better than doctors. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a place, look at 1 John 5:18. My goodness. You got so much in here that God spoke to me this afternoon. I'm getting very little of it out, but we're just trusting God. 1 John 5:18. I want you to see this. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So here he's talking about, and this isn't the truth or the case in every situation. It'd be very unscriptural to say that somebody that came short of God's best, let's take for healing, for example, be very unscriptural to say that the reason that they came short of it is because of sin. That's only the case sometimes. Remember James 5, saying, sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. So he's talking about praying for sick, for church people, sick people in church. Amen. Scripture will do that. Yes. Then praying over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith to save the sick, the Lord will raise him up. And then it says this, if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Yes. If means he may have, he may not have. Yeah. In other words, not every Christian's sick because of sin.
That's right.
In one sense of the word, you could say, yes, that's true, but not their sin, Adam's sin. That's the only reason a Christian would be sick today is Adam's sin. Because his sin brought sickness into the world. That's no fault of ours. Although we can't say we'd have done any better. But so we're not here to criticize Adam. He's doing fine in heaven right now. Let's just forgive him. So he's talking about, in this case, people's sin will open the door to the devil. Because he said, he that is begotten of God sins not, but because he sins not, he's kept. And that wicked one touches him not. So there is an issue of sin. And I can't tell you that's the reason in your life. You can't tell me that's the reason in my life. Now, somebody said, how do I know if I've sinned? Well, you'll know it in your spirit. Your spirit will convict you. But number two, here's one way to just stay out of sin. Walk in all the light you have. What about the light I don't have? Well, the Bible talks about that in 1 John. If you don't have light on something, the blood covers that. You don't have any light on it. But once you get light on it, then God's going to start, requiring you to walk in the light of it.
Amen.
I haven't taught like this for a long time. I'm just all stirred up about it. So, he said sin can be an issue. That you can see that in that verse, can't you? But you wouldn't be able to say that that's the whole counsel of God's word. Like every Christian's sick, they've got sin in their life. Absolutely not. Amen. But here's the reason I went to this verse. There is a place. You can see it so plainly here. There is a place, and this is one of the first verses you can see it in. There's a place that is a kept place in God where the enemy can't touch you. He that is begotten of God, born of God, sins not. He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. There is a place where the devil can't touch you.
That's right.
Come on now.
Not where he got in and you had to get him back out,
right,
where he can't even get in.
Come on.
See, that's higher than needing delivered from something because the devil got in. Amen. This is when he can't even get in. Job had a hedge around him. You remember that?
Right.
And the devil couldn't get to him. He's under the old covenant. You think Job can do better under the old covenant than we can do in the new covenant? Where the devil's been defeated? Certainly we can do what Job did. Certainly we can do what Job did. Absolutely. In fact, we ought to do better. You read through the book of Job, and I've always wanted to do a study on Job, never have gotten to it here in the church. But you read through Job, he didn't even know there was such a critter as the devil. He didn't have the Word of God. Like, this is what Job's one of the earliest books. I think it's the earliest book written in the historical record of the scriptures that we have. So he didn't know anything about the devil. He didn't know anything about Moses and what God revealed to Moses about divine healing and all. He didn't know all that. But he did pretty good. Not he didn't do too bad. He got into fear, but he didn't do too bad.
Amen.
But the problem is, Job did better under his old covenant without much knowledge than many Christians do today with a whole New Testament. They got the whole New Testament to read. And they're still not doing as good as Job did in the Old Testament. That's all free. I won't charge you for that. I've always been interested in this place, this kept place. I've always been interested in this. You ought to be interested in this. I believe that's why you come to a church like this. Because this is not a pat you on the back and burp you while you're a baby kind of church. We pat babies on the back and burp them, but we grow them up here.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, you're growing up now. Amen. But see, listen to me very carefully. Because you're interested in this, God will teach you how to do this.
Right.
Yeah. People that aren't interested, they don't open the door for God to teach them this.
Right.
And it's a process.
Yes.
It's a process to go from the good to the acceptable to the perfect will of God. And none of us are beyond that process. We're all in that process.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I've always been interested in this.
Yes.
More than that, I'm interested in living in it.
Yes.
I remember, I could tell you some stories. I'm trying to hurry here, but I remember the Lord saying to me, I was walking through, I told you about this, walking through the garage, and I heard the Spirit of God say, it sounded audible to me, watch. And right after that, thing after thing after thing started coming in against us personally, against the church, all kinds of stuff. Attacks, attacks, attacks. You don't talk much about it, Pastor. Exactly right. I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm just, amen. But just different attacks. And he's not been able to succeed in any of them. Boy, he tries. Amen. But we're reaching for the victory in every single one of them. Praise God. And got a lot of victory already. Praise the Lord. Now, Job 1:10. In Job 1:10, you can just write that down. That's where it says Job had this, where Satan recognized and told God he saw this, that there was a hedge about him, about Job, right?
Yes, sir.
So, but that hedge, don't neglect your part in that hedge. Job's the one that built that hedge through his faith. He's also the one that tore it down through his fear. Amen.
Amen.
So part of learning to live in this place is learning to live by faith.
Amen.
Because your faith is a shield. The Bible calls your faith a shield.
Yes, it is.
A shield is something that keeps the darts from even getting at you.
Yes.
So this shield is part of this protected place, this kept place.
Yes.
It's not the only part. We already saw don't live in sin. By the way, it says in 1 John 5:18, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That doesn't mean you can't. It just means you can't go on and on doing it without it bothering you. You got a new nature inside of you. And a lot of other translations will bring that out. But anyway, so part of learning to live there is to keep that shield up. And then Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. So it's not just God's going to keep me. No, it's you and I not giving him place. The devil, excuse me, not giving the devil place.
Amen.
You can give the devil place just through wrong thinking. Maybe not necessarily any sin. Sin, of course, will give the devil place. But wrong thinking. The only place, the only way the devil can get access to a believer is through his body or his mind. You need to think about that. Wrong thinking will give place to him, and yielding to your flesh will give place to him. You go over to 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there now, but 1 Peter chapter number 3 talks about husbands and wives dwelling together and walking in love with one another, lest our prayers be hindered. God didn't do that. We did that, not walking in love. Amen. If your prayers are hindered, then you can't receive from God, and so the devil will have access. But then it goes on and says, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from you. In other words, keep the love, keep, make sure the love walk is what, You only talk love.
Yes, amen.
Love's the only thing that comes out your mouth. And that's part of having love in life and seeing good days.
Yes.
In other words, that's part of God's best.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else interested in this place?
Yes.
Now, God has a part in this, but God can't do his part without you and I doing our part.
Amen.
Think about this in the Old Testament. I'm going to just get to something here and we'll wrap this up. The Bible talks about in Exodus, no, excuse me, where is this here? I wrote it down again, and I got so many things written down. There's two verses. One was whenever Israel complained, and they opened the door to the devil, and venomous snakes came in. Remember that? And then there's another place that said God had been keeping them all the way through the wilderness. They had been out there for 40 years, and they had been protected from those snakes the whole time they were out there. Remember those two verses? Those verses show the truth that I'm talking about, that there is a protected place in God, but there's things that can break down that protection. And we ought to be interested in this. Rather than just say, well, we just don't know why. I want to know why. Now, I might not be able to tell, God might not tell me everything about other people. Sometimes not my business.
Yeah.
But it is my business concerning my life.
Yes.
Amen.
It's my business concerning my life. And God will tell me about me. He might not tell me about you or you about me. but they'll tell me about me. Because I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God doesn't hang out my dirty laundry to everybody else. Praise the Lord. So, praise God for the word. Amen. Now, those snakes that were out there, the Bible says that hedge was broken down by their complaining.
Yes.
You remember those scriptures? Again, I've got it all written down here, just not seeing it. But so those are things that you and I have to look at. Now, let's finish this up by looking at one particular thing here. A number of years ago, this was quite a number of years ago, there was a prophecy that came out in a time of prayer here by the Spirit through me about the untouchable ones.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
I'll just read a little bit of it here. Yes, Lord. Somebody wrote it down, or what do they call it? Transcribed it. Yes, I understand. I've been aware of that, Father. I've been aware of that. Not just one angel, but many angels. Much activity. Much. And I thought they were just... I thought... they all were for our ministry, but no, they are for the company. I'm talking about this body of believers. They're for this company. We just had a manifestation this past week about the protection of an angel. No, they are for this company. They're for this company. A company of angels, in other words, assigned to this company. A company of angels assigned to this company. And so there's more here. I'm skipping. Oh, yes. I hear that. I hear that, Lord. As we fully yield to this, which is coming, this manifestation of the ministry of angels, as we fully yield to this, the ministry of angels and the ministry of the Spirit, we will be called, and even some will speak of us as the untouchable ones. The untouchable ones, the ones who cannot be touched with evil and cannot be touched by that which is around them, by even that which the enemy does in the nation. But the untouchable ones have come, for a ring of fire will be about them, and a host of angels will surround them, and the glory of the Lord will be upon them. And they shall do signs and wonders. Skipping down a little bit, they'll be untouchable ones who cannot be touched with those things happening in the world. For they have, listen to this, they have hearkened. In other words, to the word of God.
Yes,
I remember. Yes, I remember that, Lord. John G. Lake, such is the care of heaven for those who follow after for your best. It will be so in this day and for this company. For those who follow on, they are untouchable. For a host of angels surround them and guards them and keeps them on every side. Now, that which I was reminded whenever I was speaking this out of what God said to John G. Lake. He was having an experience where he saw in a vision, and there was demons like shock troops trying to get into his church. And there was something restraining them. You can read it in that. Do we have that book in the bookstore, Michelle? The big, thick John G. Lake book. You can read it in there. And those demons were trying to get in, and they couldn't get in. And John G. Lake said, "What is this?" He says, "Such is the care," the angel said to him, "such is the care of God for those who are striving in unselfishness for God's best."
Yes, yes.
Talking about the move of God, literally, if you read the whole story. It's talking about the move of God. And I was reminded of that, and the Lord was saying, that's not just for John G. Lake's church, that's for this church.
Amen.
And man, we've had testimonies of people protected. Hallelujah. Someone sent me the other day, they sent me a list of different things that have happened as a result of this ministry, different manifestations of the Spirit, different warnings. I pulled one of them in one time, warned them, said, "Don't do this because there's danger." And sure enough, an accident had killed some people and they were going to be there. Different. I think there were 7 different times. Gave me a list, sent it to me in an email. Here's different times where the Spirit of God moved through you, through our divine connection here, and we were protected.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's God's best.
Yes. Amen.
From all sorts of destructive things, accidents, fires, all kinds of things.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Some of you got testimonies.
Yeah.
We just heard another one the other day. I didn't ask permission to say it, but maybe they'll say it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, let's just wrap it up by saying this. There is a place where you are inaccessible to the enemy. Remember Psalm 91, verse number 8 in the Amplified Classic? I'm wrapping this up. Tell your neighbor he's almost done. Psalm 91, verse 8. Well, first of all, verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That, yes. Greek, that Hebrew means defense. Yes. There's a defended place. Amen. There's a place where the devil can't get to you. Amen. And then Amplified Classic of verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The Amplified Classic says, only a spectator shall you be, you yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. As you witness the reward of the wicked. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the place redemption has provided for you. Yes. See, redemption has provided more for you than just healing, just, recovery from accidents and things like that. He's provided a place where you're inaccessible.
Yes. Yeah.
Redemption has made that available to all of us.
Yes. That's right.
In any way. Inaccessible to torment our minds. Inaccessible to produce accidents. Harm, destroy. Premature death. Sickness or disease. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
The statistics in the church ought not be the same as in the world. We're redeemed. Hallelujah. I said, we're redeemed. Those who live in this secret place and are inaccessible, they have a different experience in life than all other men.
Yes.
I said, they have a different experience.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then he said, if you read Psalm 91, he talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, which is living in the Spirit. I don't have time to get into that. But he says that's the key to the rest of the chapter, which is all, if you read through Psalm 91, we know it well, many of us, that the rest of the chapter is divine protection, divine healing, health actually, and divine safety for every area of this temporal, physical, mortal life.
Amen.
You read down through there, and he starts out with Psalms 91, verse 1, and then the rest of it, except for a couple of little references to back to Psalm 1, verse 1, it was the rest of his protection in this physical life.
Amen.
From all sorts of things, accidents, disease, all sorts of things. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 on my right hand won't come near me. Woo! That's a kept place.
That is a kept place.
I said, that's a kept place.
Woo!
Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Praise be to God. I wish we had time to talk about the secret place. Because the secret place is a whole lot of things about the secret place. Praise the Lord. But you can see there's care, there's God's care, there's protection from evil, harm, danger, damage, sickness, harassment of mind, and everything else in the secret place. 1 Peter 1:5 talks about it. You're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The Amplified Classic, you're being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Guarded, garrisoned.
Amen.
To get to me. See, I'm hid in Christ. Anybody else hid in Christ?
Yes.
I think it's Colossians 3:3. We're hid with in Christ, with in God with Christ.
Yes.
Hid.
Yes.
The devil shouldn't be able to find you.
Right. Right.
Whoo! How's he find you when you talk against the word? All of a sudden, there I can see him now. But when you're talking the word, walking the word, doing the word, walking in the spirit, not walking in the flesh, walking in love, not walking in strife, you're hidden. He looks at you, all he sees the glory. Hidden. Hidden. Hidden in the safe place. Boy, if you ever find yourself out of the safe place, out on the territory where the devil has a right to you, to get to you, run real quick, get back in the safe place. That might mean repentance. It might mean judging yourself. It might mean looking bad for a few minutes before some people's eyes. But boy, it ain't worth it to stay out there where the devil's got access to you. Ooh, I'm preaching myself happy. Praise be to God. You getting anything out of this? So the main thing that I wanted to get to tonight, and I didn't even get to it, was to be a doer of the word. Amen. Amen. So being a doer of the word, Here's these two scriptures where them being a doer of the word in the Old Testament kept the fiery serpents from coming. Numbers 21:6 and Deuteronomy 8:15. Told you it was right in front of me. But those two scriptures show that God led them through the terrible wilderness where those serpents were the whole time, and they were protected from it.
Yeah.
But when they got outside of that protection,
yeah.
they complained, criticized God, and all that. And they got into that place where there were serpents that came and bit them. Amen? Well, that's permissive in the Hebrew. It sounds like it's causative where God sent them, but in the Hebrew, it's permissive. Somebody said, why did God permit that? Because they permitted it. We read that in the New Testament. Whenever we permit, He permits. Amen. There's something better than being attacked, getting delivered from. Something better than that. Let's reach for the better. What do you say? Praise the Lord. There's really two sides to putting restraint on the devil. One we know of, we're praying, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. You know, remember those verses. Take authority over him, so forth. We know that side. But the other side of it is don't give him place. Don't give him place with your words, right? Don't give him place by getting in the flesh, getting outside of love. That's really where I wanted to go tonight. But there's when the devil is bound, remember, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. When he's bound, he's restrained. He doesn't have the ability to do what he's wanting. He's bound. But there's more to binding than saying, Satan, I take authority over you. You see some people binding all the time, binding. They look spiritual, but after a while you wonder, why does the devil even have access to them? Yeah. That's higher than most of us think sometimes, but we need to think about that. Well, that's good. Praise God. While we're wrapping that up, I remember the story. Brother Hagin had I guess he kind of knew these people. He was preaching in this church, but the way he told the story, he kind of knew these people. A young family, husband and wife, who had a daughter that had had epileptic seizures. Remember that story? And he said that they had asked him to come minister to that child. And while he was getting ready to go over there, the Lord asked him a question. Or said, I'll just make it short. He said to him, he gave him that verse over there, I'll not permit any sickness. You walk in my commandments, keep my statutes. I'll not permit any sickness. That's actually Exodus 15, actually. And I'll not permit any sickness among you. And so, and then Jesus said, in this, when he's getting Brother Hagin ready to go over there, he said, and I said in the new covenant that the new commandment is walking in love. Amen. And he had previously talked and preached in this series of meetings on walking in love. And he had said, that means you're with your mother-in-law too.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were eating at a table and she said, I got a question for you. Because the Bible said, and Brother Hagin quoted it, if you hate your mother-in-law, then there's no eternal life biding in you. Remember that verse in 1 John?
Yeah.
And she said at the table, I got a question for you. What's your question? I hate my mother-in-law. All right, am I not saved? Remember that?
Yep.
And he said, well, look down on the inside. Look me in the eyes, but look down on the inside. And with your eyes on me, say, I hate my mother-in-law. Yep. And tell me what happens down there. She said, I hate my mother-in-law. What happened? He said, something's scratching me down there. He said, well, yeah, that's the love of God.
Yeah.
That's the love of God in there.
Yeah.
Trying to tell you don't say that.
Right.
Remember that story?
Yes, sir.
And so she got that right because she hadn't been walking in love with her mother-in-law. She got that right. And then she... And she actually told him later, you know, I've been walking in love with her, and she's actually a very nice lady. You know, not walking in love will blind you.
Yeah.
Everything's wrong with them. Until you start walking in love, it's like, well, they're not too bad. Anyway, so you know that story. But then, remember this lady, her daughter was attacked with an epilepsy. Yeah. And on the way over there, Brother Hagin had, the Lord asked him, you know, those two verses in Exodus 15 where it says, you know, keep my commandments, I'll not permit any sickness among you. And then over in the New Testament, the commandments, the law of love. He said, put that together and tell her now that you're walking in love. When you get there, whenever you go to minister to that child, say to her, now that you're walking, he gave her those two verses. Now that you're walking in love, Satan doesn't have permission. See, you close the door to him. He doesn't have permission to attack your daughter. And so he said, tell the mother, and she did. Tell the mother, Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hands off my child. Remember that? She wheeled around real quick and said it because she knew she was in the love. She got back in the love walk. Satan, take your hands off. He said the epileptic seizure stopped just like that and never came back. She had been having them, you know, regularly. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did that work that time? It's not a trick question. She's walking in love, right? She's walking in love. But let's back it up, and that's the right answer. But let's back it up and say, really, it was because she became a doer of the word. Did you see that? She became a doer of the word, not just a mouther of the word. She became a doer of the word. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's stand to our feet. See, she really judged herself in the light of the word. She corrected herself in the light of the word. And that's how that's a big part of having God's best.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Yeah. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. Some of you were standing and maybe didn't listen. She judged herself in the light of the word. When she got the light of the word, she judged herself. That, not only did she wheel around and take authority over it, but she closed the door to the devil first.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
Say that out loud. Wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards now.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, the word of God works. Turn to your other neighbor and say, the word of God works. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, some of us, and I'm saying us, I'm including myself. I got things that I'm renewing my mind on too. But some of us have allowed some things, and we're so used to it, we just think it has to be that way. Don't accept it if the word says it doesn't have to be that way. Say, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? Now, don't condemn yourself, because the devil will say, well, back in 1973, you looked cross-eyed at somebody, and you were, no. You know what I'm talking about. Don't let, it's not a conversation between you and the devil. Conversation between you and God. Don't just say, well, it's just always been this way. Or, well, some of the senior citizens, let's say this. Well, I'm just getting older. Where does it say you'll get that when you get older? No, he said he's live out all your days and take sickness away from the midst of us.
Amen.
Now, we're not criticizing anybody.
Yes,
but we're just simply saying, here's what's available.
Yes, amen.
Woo, glory be to God. Glory be to God. And so what that means is you're going to have to judge yourself.
Yes.
I've had to go to Pastor Debbie and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Man, once since we've been married, I've had to do that. Amen. That just keeps you on the territory where the devil can't attack you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. This might not be real. You might not be excited about the service tonight, but you do this. And I'm telling you, you start eating the good of the land and having days of heaven on earth.
Amen.
Praise God. Where so many things can't even get to you. I'm not saying that if you're perfect at that, where the devil, you'll never have to use your faith. No, you're going to have to use your faith. He'll try to do it illegally. You understand. But right on the other hand, there's a lot of things you won't have to deal with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You still love Pastor Jay?
Yes.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So many things. So many things. I hear the Spirit of God say. So many things I speak to my children about. I speak to my people about. And they go on about their way as if they didn't hear. And then difficulty is permitted to come. Not because it was my will, but because I tried to keep them off of that territory by speaking to them in their hearts. And so many times I long for so many things to be different and so many things to be so much better, and life to be like a dream for them. And yet they turn away their ear. So listen, hearken, learn to pay attention to that still small voice inside. And don't set it aside as if it's not important, because at the time it might not seem like it's important. But I'm preparing you for the things to come. I'm preparing you for what the enemy wants to seek to do. And so listen to my voice. Listen to my spirit. And I'll lead you in these paths where there's days of heaven on earth. The best I have for you. And all around, people will experience those things which you used to experience, and you'll say, I found the answer. And you'll bring many to the light and bring them into the best that I have for them. So listen, hearken, walk in the light, and see what I'll do. And the glory of the Lord will be manifest. And you'll say, I notice I haven't had a single accident in 13 years. I haven't had a single attack against that area of my body, which I used to all those years, because I'm now kept. I'm now in that place. I've learned to make the adjustments and listen to his voice. For he's only thinking of my good. And he's only looking out for the best life that he has for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's a good reminder that it's not just the written word, but it's the dealings of the Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came to church tonight. This isn't to condemn anybody. It's to challenge us. I say amen. Brother Hagin had the thinking that him tripping and falling and knocking his elbow out of the place was an open door to the devil. And Jesus came and confirmed it in a vision. Well, those things happen sometimes. Who said? Who said? Angels should bear us up in their hands, lest at any time we dash our foot against a stone. Well, I'm just clumsy. Stop saying that. See, that gives place to the devil. Well, I didn't know it was the devil. I thought it was clumsy. Well, he'll help you be clumsy, but he'll also take advantage of your wrong words. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've had a good day. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just simply saying we gotta suck it up. Let's ask ourselves the question, why is this stuff happening? There's a better life. Amen. Greet your neighbor. Tell them, thank God. Thank God for what we heard tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I just sense some of us, and maybe not right now, but I'm just saying when we go home, just get serious. Say, God, why does this just keep happening? This, maybe it's an area I didn't even talk about, but why does this keep happening? Not out of condemnation, but out of just faith because of what you heard tonight. And I'm telling you, he's willing to talk. Not in a condemning way, but he'll get us out of these things. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be critical, but I see sometimes Christians just having accidents all the time. That's not normal. I said, that's not normal. It shouldn't be accepted as, well, it's just the way it's always been in my life. It shouldn't be always that way in your life. You got all sort of protection verses in the Bible. Amen. Now, we're not condemning anybody, you understand? But I think it's time some of us just examine some of these things. Ask ourselves the question, Lord, what do I got to learn? I got to learn something here. Amen. Can I say this? I'm trying to quit. The best God has for you is not going to happen because you're a Christian. It's going to happen because you're a disciple. One that is disciplined in the Word to renew your mind to the Word, grow in faith, let the Word of God address things that need to be addressed, get the dross out of your faith. So like you in John 15 can go from no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. Keep on going from one degree to the next. Amen. Woo, glory. Glory. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, I got to quit. It's too good, but I got to quit. Praise the Lord. So turn to your neighbor again and say, I got what I needed tonight. And I'm reaching for God's best. Amen. You're dismissed.